Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've joined us for the last couple of weeks, you know we've just started into a Christmas series on a portrait of God I call He is Our Christmas Christ. And it's actually going to be an 8-part series, so we're going to go all the way through January with this series as we look at 8 more portraits underneath this overall portrait that describes more precisely how He is indeed our Christmas Christ and how that is so phenomenal, so special, so amazing. And so if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to start making your way over to Luke chapter 1, and then we'll be in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 as we continue our journey. We're going to be covering number 3 in this series. He is our promised Christ. We started off with how He is our pre-time Christ. Then we talked last week about how He is our prophesied Christ. And now we're going to look at how He is our promised Christ. And as you're making your way there to Luke chapter 1, where we will begin, just a quick reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And on that landing page, there are several things you can click on, but the box that says broadcasts, click on that one. And then the next page, just click on the box that says Portraits of God, and you'll have a list of all of these archived broadcasts. So that's markpg.org, and I'll hope you'll take a peek if you want to, listen again, or if you've missed a broadcast, you can go and catch up and share it with others. All right, as is our custom, before we launch into our walk through the Lord's love letters today, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I absolutely love coming to sit at Your feet, whether it's by myself in my own personal quiet time, with my wife, with family, with friends, with my friends on air and online. We get to sit at Your feet, engage in Your eyes, and let You speak to us heart to heart. And so today, as we continue our journey in discovering how You are our Christmas Christ, and more specifically today, how You are our promised Christ, I pray You'll just open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive the insight You have for us, to see how Your promises can be trusted, even though sometimes it's difficult for us to do so, as we'll see today. So thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You love to speak to us. Thank You for letting us sit at Your feet to listen for Your heart to touch our hearts. Oh, Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just briefly to set the table, the first broadcast was how He is our pre-time Christ. And John 1:1 tells us how in the beginning was the Word, or Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, how He existed before time and all. And because of that, the enormity of His essence and His nature from pre-time, eternity past to eternity future, boy, can we trust Him to take care of whatever we're dealing with. And we talked about all of that at length. Last time we talked about how He is our prophesied Christ, and we looked at Christ types. In the Old Testament era, these were characters that were given to us, genuine lives that were lived, that gave us glimpses of the Christ who was to come. Abraham as the father of nations, foreshadowing Jesus, who'd be the father of nations. David as the king of Israel, foreshadowing Christ being the king of Israel, and so forth. Then we talked about many of the direct prophecies we have in Scripture, which we'll kind of touch on again today. But all of these are God's ways of giving us a glimpse of what's to come, bite-sized chunks, not the whole picture, because it draws us closer to himself and keeps us closer to himself. And so we had a wonderful time discovering how our Christmas Christ is not only our pre-time Christ, but our prophesied Christ, and today, how he is our promised Christ. And we're going to see this through the lives of four of the main characters we have in the Christmas story, Zacharias, and then Mary, then Joseph, and then the Magi. And we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 1, and beginning at verse 5, as we are going to see the story of a man named Zacharias. Let's pick it up, Luke, in chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Well, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. Now, his wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, and according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. Well, when his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot to, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Now an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you will name him John. And there will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared place." Well, let me pause a moment. Just to remind you what this is, it's Gabriel, who was sent from God, who's coming to share this word with Zechariah about the coming of a baby who would become John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, some call him. But look at verse 18. "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Okay, let me stop a moment. That's a pretty reasonable thing. Hey, we're old. We're way past childbearing years. How is this going to happen? And this is the unusual response, totally unexpected, that came to him. The angel, verse 19, answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time." Wow. Now, at first reading, that seems pretty harsh. I mean, who wouldn't have a struggle believing something like this was going to be true in light of their life circumstances, right? Well, let's read on. Verse 21, "Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary, and when he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept making signs to them and remained speechless. And when the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home." Now, verse 24, "And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And she said, 'The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people.'" Because to be barren in that day was kind of a disgrace for sure. But here the Lord was bringing a miracle, not only that she would conceive in her old age along with her husband who was of old age, but it would be the forerunner, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, let's skip on down toward the end of the chapter to finish up the story of Zechariah, and then I want to just share with you the takeaway that God has put on my heart about this particular story. Now, verse 57, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. And then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her this great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. Now, when they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father, but his mother responded, no, no, he will be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives has that name. So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed. Now, verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Now, it goes on to tell us exactly what he said. That's for another day. Here's the takeaway regarding trust that I want to share with you. You know, this is, if you're a note taker, by the way, under our promise Christ, when we get these promises from God, when God gives us a promise of something he's going to do or he wants to do, sometimes we're like Zacharias. There was a gradual trust in Zacharias, a gradual trust. He didn't get it at first. He couldn't receive it at first. He was too overwhelmed. He saw the earthly conditions that they were in, saw it as absolutely impossible. A reasonable request came to the angel Gabriel, and the angel responded by, well, saying, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time. God's promises are fulfilled at the proper time. And we can sometimes have a gradual trust, and sometimes God needs to help us in developing that gradual trust. And in this case, apparently, I believe it's a grace from above, the Lord instructed Gabriel to say, well, let's just go ahead and have him be silent during this time and give them plenty of processing time. You know, that's not a harsh punishment. Sometimes we need the time to just be quiet and be still and process so that trust can gradually build up in us. Take Moses. Here's a good example, also from the Old Testament, obviously, when he got the vision that he would be the deliverer of the children of Israel from slavery, and he was impatient, didn't trust the Lord to fulfill it in his way and his time, and he took matters in his own hand. And what happened? The Lord let him be exiled for 40 years before the proper time would come for God to raise him up as a deliverer. My friend, sometimes it does take us time to really believe all that God's going to do. And, well, it's real. And sometimes we just need to receive the waiting time as a gift from God. I love the story of a mother. This is a true story that was having a struggle with her teenage daughter, and not unusual. Sometimes mothers and teenage daughters have problems. This particular mother was so zealous, wanting to help her daughter and always instructing her and wanting to point her in the right way and all that. But it just so happened that at season of her life, she had to have surgery. The mother had to have surgery on her jaw. And so her mouth, her jaw was wired shut for about 3 weeks. During that time, the teenage daughter would come home and start sharing that she would normally share things that were happening at school, things she was struggling with, but the mother couldn't respond. The mother couldn't instruct her or correct her or anything like that. She just, just all she could do was just nod and maybe hug her a little bit. And day after day, that started happening more and more, and the daughter began to open up more and more while the mother's jaw was wired shut. And in those weeks, they bonded more than they ever had before. Afterwards, the mother would say, there were so many things I wanted to say, but God used this surgery to teach me that sometimes the best thing to do is to wait and let that gradual trust between mother and daughter, that gradual trust with God that He's going to work things out, will be for the best. And we watch it unfold, amazed at the grace and the power of God. Isn't that cool? I love that story. I love both these stories, Zacharias and the mom whose jaw had to be wired shut in order to get bonded more deeply with her daughter. Well, at the other end of the spectrum, rather than a gradual trust in Zacharias, now we're going to see the instant trust in Mary. Sometimes when we're dealing with trust issues, we have to have time and gradual trust has to build up. Other times it can be instant, like in the case of Mary. Let's pick up that story in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And this is the angel Gabriel being sent out again. So we see it there in verse 26, that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled or confused by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom he will have no end." Now, Mary asked the angel a similar question to Zechariah asked, but it's with a different kind of heart. Listen to this. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And look at what Mary says in verse 38, "I am the Lord's bondservant. May it be done according to your word." And the angel left her. Now, it's such a similar interchange between Gabriel and these two people. Why was the angel telling Zacharias that his mouth would be sealed, but in Mary's case, he said a couple of more things and she received it and everything was fine? Why? Because God, through the angel, sees our hearts. And in Mary, he saw a childlike faith, a humble faith. She just needed a little bit more because he saw that she would instantly trust in what was happening and willingly obey and receive the miracle that God wanted to do. I tell you, the story goes on. We're not going to cover it. How she goes to see Elizabeth and the interchange that they have. It's a wonderful story for another time. But I just want you to see how we have that stark contrast between the gradual trust of Zacharias. We've all been there. The instant trust in Mary. We've been there. There's some things we just believe God right away. The childlike faith takes over and sometimes in our lives, and God will say it, we receive it, it's done, we move on. I think that's an awesome thing. But my friends, let me just say, give yourself breathing space and others breathing space on this issue of trust. Do we really trust God with what He's saying and doing in our lives or not? Well, some days we do instantly. Other days we need processing time, like Zacharias and Moses. And you know what? It's a both and, not an either or. It just depends on the season of life. It depends on the situation at hand, the parties involved. But God understands. And He's a good God. And He works with us. He sees our heart. He knows what we can hear and what we can't hear, when we need time and when we're ready to move ahead. Oh, I love the Lord. He's our promised Christ. So Zacharias was receiving word about the promised Christ that was to come. Mary received a word from Gabriel about the promised Christ that was to come, and now Joseph hears from the angel Gabriel about the promised life who was to come. And let's pick up his story, and I want you to see how he has a durable trust that is developing. Oh, my soul, this is an incredible story. So let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. So the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. By the way, engaged is the word used in this translation, but actually the word betrothed is more accurate, and it's actually a stage between engagement and marriage. It involves an entering a covenant, but it's a covenant to marry in the future. And it was so, it was seen as legal that if you wanted to break that betrothal, you had to go through a divorce, though you weren't quite fully married. So that's something that's their culture was familiar with, but not ours. Engagement in ours is not a legal thing. It's just a verbal promise and a hope and a direction that you're headed, but you don't have to get a divorce in our culture when you are breaking an engagement. But they did in their culture, and that's why it's called betrothal. And so her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. So before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. She gave him the news. She told him, but it's by the Holy Spirit. I've known no man. How are you going to believe that? Oh, my goodness. So he was going to divorce her secretly, but he was overwhelmed. But look what happened in verse 20. After he'd considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream. Now, that's different than the other two. There were actual appearances with the other two. This one's in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Well, when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel commanded him, and he married her. Now, I'm going to stop there in the narrative because I just want to say that the durable trust began right there. That is when he trusted what the angel shared with him. I will not put her away. I will marry her. We're going to have to endure humiliation and scorn. They're going to think I jumped the gun and that she did too. We're just going to have to endure it. And even afterwards, when the baby is born, we'll still have to deal with that story from time to time. A durable trust in the Lord and his ways was being cultivated in Joseph, just like the Old Testament Joseph, who got a vision that he would be the leader of many. But man, then he got sold into slavery by his brothers. All kinds of things happened. He had to have that durable trust that the Lord was doing what he wanted to do. Do you have a durable trust in the Lord? Well, finally, let's end up with this. I want to show you a lavish trust through the Magi. Also here in Matthew. This is fascinating. We see in Matthew 2, verse 2, after we get word that the Magi had seen the star in the east, listen to this quote, they come, they arrive near Bethlehem, and they say, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Pretty lavish trip they had to make. Pretty lavish gifts they brought with them. We'll see later in the text, if you know the text. But then we ask, how did they know this? This is how lavish this trust was. Well, Micah 5:2 is a scripture that they would have had for, you know, several hundred years. It says this, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. What a glimpse of the Lord of eternity past, becoming flesh, to dwell among us, this prophecy being uttered, them believing it in the far east. And then when they get word or they see this star and they go, you know what, we got to follow this star that we've been reading about. And they go lavishly on a long trip with lavish gifts because that's what their trust was like. You know, my friend, the Lord has so many promises that he gives to us in our hearts and in our lives and through the scriptures, general ones through the scriptures, specific ones for us. Give yourself breathing space to cultivate a deeper and deeper reflexive trust in the Lord. Sometimes it'll be gradual, like in the case of Zacharias. Sometimes it'll be instant, like in the case of Mary. We want it to be durable, like in the case of Joseph. We want it to be lavish, like the Magi. The more we trust the Lord, the deeper we learn to love him. And the deeper love we'll be able to receive from him, like that old hymn, as we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Oh, what a glory he sheds on our way. As we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's our Christmas Christ, my friend, that we get to trust. That's our promised Christ that we get to trust. Like Zacharias, like Mary, like Joseph, like the Magi, and many, many others. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this word today. Oh, teach us how to trust you deeply, deeply, because you are trustworthy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our promised Christ.